a few moments, we will be joined by Oliver Burrows. We'll be going outside the bubble as we talk about the courts and other issues in the news as we try to get different perspectives here this morning. That'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Also coming up at 9:06, we'll find out about the early to midweek weather forecast. Of course, plenty of outdoor activities as the Wisconsin Valley Fair getting underway today at Marathon Park. We'll have details on the weather. Can you expect any raindrops while you're at the fair, or whether the temperatures will stay very moderate like they've been the last couple of days? We'll find out with Jennifer Vuchiski coming up at 9:06. Well, to begin with, though, today, it's an anniversary. Today is the one-year anniversary of Bull Falls Radio. Yep, it was on August the 1st of 2022 that Civic Media took over WXCO Radio. So 1 year ago today was the first day of Bull Falls Radio. It's been a very interesting year, to say the least. A lot of changes, a lot of building within Civic Media, including here at Bull Falls Radio. We're still just waiting. We're getting very close to making our big move over to downtown Wausau, a chance to get right in the midst of downtown coming up, hopefully within the next couple of weeks. But still, big year number one is pretty amazing, because Bull Falls Radio was one of the early acquisitions of Civic Media. But since then, we are up to, I think, 18 or 19 or even 20 stations around the state of Wisconsin. And that means a lot of work, a lot of rebuilding for studios. Some of these radio stations around the state, they had some work to do, to say the least. And our engineering staff has been fantastic. In fact, yesterday, we had an issue with our automation computer, and not to get into the weeds for you folks, but you know, there's a lot of automation in order to get the programming from around the state of Wisconsin, and we had an issue with our automation, and one of our engineers made the trek up here, spent hours late last night in order to get us back going. And again, there's been a few hiccups this morning, but again, we apologize for that. But as we get into our new digs, new equipment, and it should be just a real exciting year number two. But wanted to thank everybody for the support in year number one, and of course thank the folks at Civic Media who have really invested in local radio, not only here in Wausau, but around the state of Wisconsin. And we expect it to be a huge year number two. Also, today is always an exciting day, for me at least, and I know for a number of high school athletes, because it is day number one of high school football practice for the 11-man teams around the state of Wisconsin. And coming up later in the program, I'm going to talk about a rankings list that came out from wisports.net earlier in the yesterday. And a couple of Wausau West Warriors seniors among the top 50 seniors in the state of Wisconsin. It should be, again, a very exciting year of Wausau West football. Of course, the Newman Catholic Cardinals, the two-time defending eight-player state champions, they will begin practice a week from today, because eight-player starts their regular season a week after the 11-player. And also starting practice today is the Marathon Red Raiders, and we expect another exciting season of Marathon High School football as well. Our first broadcast of the season coming up 2 weeks from Friday night. Wausau West will be at Superior. I'll have the call of that one, and Marathon will be traveling to Rib Lake Prentice, and Tom Weaver will have the call of that one. That's on Friday night, August the 18th. And again, we are so very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still provides play-by-play of high school sports on the radio. And as I've talked about, and we'll talk about again a little bit later on, if you are a business owner or an individual that would like to continue to support our play-by-play broadcast of high school athletics, we have a number of different opportunities, different sponsorship opportunities at any level that you would be interested in, either for the entirety of the package of all three schools, or if there's a team or a sport that you're most interested in, all sorts of different options. And we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in just a bit here on Bull Falls Radio. But I see he has arrived. He is going to be poking the bubble here for me in a couple of moments.
I am in the house.
We're going to go outside the bubble with Oliver Burrows coming up next. We'll take a quick 2-minute break. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO.
Singing so happily, oh joyfully, oh.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. If you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, do so. Not only because you can get Bull Falls Radio live and get all the podcasts and also all the other stations around the state of Wisconsin, it will be the easiest way when we do start our high school football coverage to be able to listen to games on SportsStream 2 and SportsStream 3. Because if you get the app, they'll list all the stations. Just click on Bull Falls Radio and they'll say on air, SportsStream 1, SportsStream 2. Click right between them and be able to keep up to speed on all of our high school sports broadcasts on a Friday night starting very, very soon. Gentleman that knows a thing or two about going around on a Friday night and covering some high school football. In fact, while I'm doing Wausau West and some Newman Catholic and Marathon this year, you'll be Oliver Burrows will be the voice of the Merrill Blue Jays on our good friends over at WJMT out of Merrill. And Oliver, good to see you again. Man, you're good. I mean, you were in front of this board. Hey. You saw that your microphone.
But that walk-up music, walk me away. You know, well, come on now, Chad. I thought you wanted to make me feel welcome here.
Please.
Hey, thanks for having me back. Because yes, we have got. Let's cut.
Oliver,
right
to we're gonna
it.
Switch microphones on you. There you go.
All right.
While we were doing all our stuff yesterday, my engineer moved our good microphone. And as you well know, sometimes some of these microphones have a few idiosyncrasies, I'll call
Chad,
them.
Chad, I'm going to keep it simple. You can't handle the truth.
But hey, yeah, no.
You know, it will be good for all the listeners to understand how much work it takes. You know my expression. You're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken soup. And you held it together. Congratulations on the first year. Because basically at this point in time, Chad, this was 4 years ago when the formats changed.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, 4 years ago, I had a job today. People do not understand radio.
Yeah, this business.
And when the format changes, the sales staff doesn't know, the on-air talent doesn't know, you get done with your show and na 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 na. Anyway, speaking of na 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 na, today we see a change in eras. And I know that we're going to see this one differently, but I'm going to be offering some concurring opinions. That means I'm going to disagree, but for different reasons, because Judge Janet is going to take her oath of office today.
Mm-hmm.
And my concerns are myriad, but I'm going to follow the Holmes rule.
Well, it's always a good way to start.
Yes. Process.
Right.
This process from all of the out of state money. And guess what? Citizens United had consequences, Chad.
Mm-hmm. It was the richest state Supreme Court race in the country's history. Not just Wisconsin, but anywhere in the country.
Nothing to do with Civic, not targeting Civic. But I remember when a certain person in this town about 8 years ago said in election year, 80% of that media outlet's revenue came from political advertising.
Yeah, there's some that make a lot of money. And that's it's actually, and it's something to kind of, you know, spread it even wider, that it's beyond even election season now, where the news used to be not a profit center for corporations. Back in the 70s and then into the 80s even, the news was considered separate from the entertainment divisions of the major networks. And then all of a sudden they started to realize when I think one of the probably, again, I'm just speculating, but mm-hmm. I bet you when we saw, say, 60 Minutes become a top 10 show, and all of a sudden the ad revenues were coming in, and then they thought, why can't all news be an ad revenue source? And that's not the way it should work, because if you...
Hear, hear.
If you watch any of the evening news or even the cable news, it's not about the news anymore. It's about the entertainment factor to get eyeballs instead of worrying about the overnight ratings instead of providing the news that people need to hear. And I think that, again, it's a vicious cycle right now where everything is a profit center.
And that is absolutely correct analytically. The consequences, Chad, are immense. You take a look at what happened in this Supreme Court race. And though we saw different candidates winning than we, than I wanted.
Right.
I will tell you this. I watched the race that Judge Kelly ran, and I watched the way he responded, and it was not geared to success. Now, my concerns about Judge Janet are that she started talking about cases that she would want to see the court hear and how she might vote. Now, I want to set that point aside just briefly to go to the federal level. Advice and consent means grill and fry in the Senate.
Let me jump in here because obviously you talk about how Judge Janet Protasiewicz was able to run the campaign last year. I'm going to a sports term. Last year. Early this year, in fact.
Yeah.
I mean, time just, you know, has no meaning anymore. But it was different in that she used her values as a candidate for a judicial position. It is something that we don't see a lot of, whether at the state level or in the federal level, because when somebody gets announced as a Supreme Court nominee, they're basically play a game of keep away with their true beliefs. I'm going to ask you right out front, because obviously you have very deep values that you want to see represented, I would say, on either the federal court or the state court. You hear some people that are not happy. I think it was Brian Hagedorn who was on Sunday morning, said, well, I haven't done it that way. There's a criticism of it, but at the same time, isn't it more fair to the voters in this case to know where somebody stands as opposed to this game of keep away when somebody, I mean, you look at the last number of Supreme Court nominees when they've spoken in front of the Senate, I think you could argue that many of them committed perjury because they do swear to tell the truth. And I would say that they perjured themselves when they made certain comments about certain precedent and certain maybe topics when they were being, as you say, grilled by the Senate.
I see your point there, Chad.
That's why we go outside the bubble. Gotta have a different
perspective. I acknowledge that their statements at times were at the very least misleading. Okay?
Right.
Now, here's the problem. We set up a system where the Supreme Court at the federal level was to be the weakest branch. You read Article 3 of the Constitution. I know you do these things at night.
Oh, yeah.
While watching Seinfeld.
Exactly,
anyway, here's
exactly.
The point. Congress was supposed to be overseeing the court system. In fact, the Constitution specifically states all the inferior, meaning lesser courts. The Supreme Court was never specifically given the right at the federal level to rule laws unconstitutional. It wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is, just like a balloon, it expands until it pops. Marbury versus Madison, McCullough v. Maryland, famous cases that I teach about.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? The court began to take on a different role. Now, let's take a look at two other cases, and I will prove relevance. Perry Mason is in the house.
Okay, very good.
Andrew Jackson, Trail of Tears.
Uh-huh.
What a travesty. Because the Supreme Court ruled, and Jackson thumbed his nose at the court and basically said, the court passed the decision. I'm paraphrasing to be fair to the late president. Let them enforce it. Right there, flag. Impeachment. He's the president is the head of the judicial system. Go ahead.
I'm going in a different direction than I thought, because when you say things, it's got me thinking a little bit differently.
Sure.
You talk about the original intent of the Supreme Court being the weakest of the three branches.
Yes.
Just in the last number of days, we've seen Samuel Alito pen in an article. He didn't pen it, but he was talking to somebody from a judicial group, which, to even take it a step further, a guy that's got some business in front of the court coming up, which is another. But the point of the article was that Samuel Alito saying that Congress has no right to say anything about any sort of ethics standards for the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court has its they can, the Congress has no way of being involved in that because the Supreme Court can basically, you know, rule itself.
I don't see that in the Constitution, Chad Holmes.
I thought Alito was one of your favorite these originalists.
Chad, no offense taken. Just because their positions are right on many issues doesn't mean that they get a blanket pass. Not in my house.
And also, Alito is very good about spinning things to ultimately get the result that he wants. And you can, people have been, you know, talking about Janet Protasiewicz basically already saying, you know, what she has in terms of her mind and her heart in some of these issues. Alito has probably been one of the worst, I think, in 100 years, where ultimately he's able to spin a yarn to get the goal that he wants in the end.
I hadn't thought about that analogy, but I will tell you this.
But have you noticed him with? He reaches deep into the law books to find something that that even, you know, I think even other conservative jurists would say that's a stretch.
And that's what happens if you are. And there are three terms. We talked about them before: originalist, textualist, and strict constructionist. And there are three different meanings.
Okay.
We're not going to have class today. Maybe another day.
I am curious.
But here's the point. Mm-hmm. The court has become political. The court has not really coalesced. The court is still like Jell-O in the refrigerator. Mm. It's not dinner time yet. And the reason I bring that up is straightforwardly this. What Judge Janet did galvanize the most vocal, you might say extreme.
Mm-hmm.
I will be kind and say vocal. And I saw postings publicly of, well, we will impeach her as soon as she gets...
Mm-hmm.
Flag. It is nothing until they call it. Just like baseball. Remember the umpire in the 20s? I calls it as I sees it, but it's nothing till I calls it.
Yep.
And that's where we have primed the people for Soundbite City.
We got to take a break for a news update, but coming back, you brought up the political term. There's an argument by some about whether or not judges are politicians. I want to discuss that because I think it's an interesting way to look at the way things are right now within the judicial branch, because it's not supposed to be that way, but we got to call it as we see it. And I want to kind of discuss that coming up. So we'll have more Outside the Bubble with Oliver Burroughs talking judiciary coming up here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 12. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Mostly cloudy skies, 65 degrees right now in Wausau. Again, we will have a complete look at your weatherology forecast. We'll be joined by Jennifer Vucicki coming up at 9:06. Again, we are stepping outside the bubble, talking from a different perspective than I may have with Oliver Burroughs. And Oliver, before the break, I said we're going to come back and talk about judges and members of the judicial branch as politicians, because the idea is they're not supposed to be politicians. It's supposed to be nonpartisan, you know, in terms of even the elections. It's not supposed to be, well, one's the Republican candidate or the conservative candidate, or one's the liberal candidate or the Democratic candidate. But it appears now, I'm going to kind of push a little bit that when you look at Alito and Thomas, and again, you can argue for those on the left as well, but these two are almost like flaunting it now. It's almost as though we're going to talk to whoever we want, even if they have business in front of the court. We're going to take gifts from them, even if they have business in front of the court. It's like the Wild West right now in the United States Supreme Court. But the question I'm going to throw out there, do you see judges as politicians?
I see their behavior as political. I abhor it. And I will simply say this about that and make one point perfectly clear. You know what? If we in any field do not police ourselves, we are inviting other right. people to police us. I don't know what the salary is of Supreme Court justices. I don't know all the details, because I'm not sitting behind the mic like you every day,
right.
of how much they're getting and from whom. But I'll tell you this. If I were a lawyer, and at one point in time my parents wanted me to, I just found out that my great-grandfather's law books have been sitting in my garage in a box for umpteen years.
Well, you can start studying for the new career, right?
Right.
Never too late, never
That's
too late.
That's right. Chad, judging is a, and I'm going to use a word that has spiritual overtones with no apology, it is a sacred trust. Mm-hmm. When people come before us, Lady Justice says, she's blind. Well, Chad, I'm afraid that the blindfold has been pulled down, and the problems we have right now require men and women with character. I'm not attacking Justice Jackson, but when she couldn't answer the question of what is a woman, yes, was it a loaded question? Was it going to get to a point? I know it. You know it. It's like the bad joke about the KGB and CIA. They know, we know that they know, and we know that they know that we know. The bottom line is she needed to answer that, even from her perspective, which I disagree with totally. And I was thinking about this because I woke up about 04 this morning thinking about coming in and other things. We have to be a little bit nimble, not to manipulate, but to answer and say, I think I know what you're driving at. Here's what I'm going to say.
Let me play devil's advocate.
No, no, that's on it
from four to six. Goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The criticism of Janet Protasiewicz for being open about values. Are you calling for more discussion on values from judicial candidates?
I don't know how to do it, Chad. I'm not going to be honest with you. But yes, you need to be able to articulate. One needs to, not personalizing.
One needs to
articulate what he or she believes the law says. What we're trying to do in, and this is why the court has become politicized. We are trying to avoid offending rather than declaring and standing. I avoid offending, maybe you'll vote for me. And then later, let's go back to Act 10. I'm going to go outside. You said I could go outside
the
bubble.
You certainly can.
No thought of changing.
When you say that, though, it makes me want to go, grrr.
I understand.
Scotty Walker, grrr.
But you know what?
Yes.
Nothing was said. I tell the story, Chad, because I was down there on a different matter. The day that we thought the protesters were going to breach the King Gate. I was watching at 1330 hours, 1:30 if you're not on 24-hour clock. The police had their riot gear in the basements because I talked to them. Whose house is it? Our house. Chad, this is the problem. We are no longer a nation of law. And this is why when we have a change in what we'll call orientation, conservative versus political, people end up being whipsawed. The law should not be a whipsaw.
Again, I think going back to almost the umbrella statement we started with about being open and honest, when you talk about going back to the Act 10 discussion, during the election right before Act 10, he never mentioned it. Again, I'm talking about the Honorable Scott Walker, and I use that term loosely.
What you'd use when you wrote him a letter.
But the idea, again, I think it comes down to more openness about what you're going to do is better than trying to tippy-toe around questions like we see so often these days in the judicial realm.
And that's because the idea of advice and consent has changed dramatically. Let's go back to the Dred Scott case in 1856.
And I won't make a joke that says that many of the Republican candidates for president would like us to do that, but continue.
Pardon me while I mop up the blood.
Sometimes I can't help myself.
Yes,
but
Chad.
But please continue.
The point is, here you have Roger Taney writing the majority opinion. He's a slave owner from Virginia. And he declares...
I'll correct you. He's from Maryland.
Oh, forgive me.
Maybe he owned slaves in Virginia, but I thought he was a Maryland politician.
I will double check. Put him up.
I can't wait for you to double check and then get the text to say, hey, you are right. But continue.
When I got there, Mary Jo and the cab were gone. Here's what happens. If you are a person who owns slaves, could you make an unbiased ruling on a case? If you are someone, it used to be, Chad, in the old days, I remember the winter of 72. It used to be in the old days when a candidate became a legislator, he or she put all of their investments into a blind trust. Mm-hmm. Now, I can tell you, in January of 2020, and it happened to be three Democrats and one Republican, the Senate got briefed of what was coming. And four senators, and it was publicized for a while, suddenly made changes in their investment portfolios, right, knowing what was coming. Flag.
And I will say that you're right, that kind of issue, the whole divesting of assets has been a problem, not just recently, because I think, you know, people do point out, I think, the hypocrisy of Trump saying he did, but I've read the books on Lyndon Johnson, and Lyndon Johnson said in public that he had divested, his family had owned a lot of media, television, radio, and other things, but in the books, he had a special hotline in the White House where he was basically still in control of these very significant amounts of property when he had said he wouldn't. So it's been that's been one of the bipartisan aspects of American life, is these people taking advantage of their position.
Courts should never be bipartisan.
No.
But when they are, we really lack the means to police it.
And also part of, again, I'll let you continue, but one of the things that this recently, Marquette University had another poll out, and it talked about a number of different issues, and one was the Supreme Court and the trust. And over the last number of years, it has been tanking. And it's not just the courts. The military, in terms of positive feelings, has gone down. A lot of the other, and of course, you know, politicians and the like. But the idea for the court, if we don't have a system of justice that we can trust, and there are a lot of people on the left and the right that I think are not feeling very trustworthy of the current criminal justice system, one of the pillars of our system is going to be very shaky very, very soon.
Chad, it's already gone shaky. And it's gone shaky because of the way the process has been eroded. We've talked about the personal integrity. We've talked about at the federal level, the senatorial scrutiny. But what it also boils down to right now, and if I have these book titles that run through my head, and Justice for None. Mm-hmm. If we don't all have justice, then none of us does. Our definition of justice should be very simple. Consequences consistent with the offense are meted out consistently.
I'm going to throw the elbows out a little bit right here.
Ooh.
And is not a personal thing, but the conservative members of our society, in a poll just yesterday from New York Times and Siena College, still a majority of people say they want Donald Trump to be president of the United States. And Donald Trump, this week, has been putting out on his social media, basically, he has, you know, just trashing the criminal justice system because he feels like he's done nothing wrong. And I'm going to say that what he's doing is causing chunks of people to lose faith in the criminal justice system because of a very personal vendetta that he has. Doesn't he have the responsibility as a political leader, a man that has received the votes of tens of millions of people, to stop being a child when it comes to these issues? And what kind of damage is he causing to people that I think believe like you do in terms of a lot of the major issues, whether it's economic, whether it's social and other issues? This is the man currently that they have decided is the leader of this movement. And he is saying that the criminal justice system is a complete farce.
I do not agree with the way he is being prosecuted. And I will say that
Let me jump in there real quickly.
Sure.
Why? Because I think there is plenty of evidence out there that this man flaunted the law. And you've talked about rule of law. Is there a rule of law different for a young black man in the ghettos of New York and Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States?
And the answer is yes, but not for the reasons you're going to say. Okay. I'm going to offer that concurring opinion. We do not have equal access in our country, and unfortunately, we can't afford it.
That is such a big factor. You're exactly right.
And if I don't have, because things we won't talk about here, I had to be my own lawyer.
Right.
I know that the resources are such that Mr. Trump allegedly, this is Yahoo News yesterday,
right,
had to ask for a donation back from somebody, and I don't know from whom or the amount.
Which is crazy, because you remember back when he first started running, I'm not even going to ask for anybody for money. Again, it was another fib for Mr. Trump.
Well, and this becomes the problem of the more you say, the more you hope goes away. Because right, all of us, Chad, when I sat in that chair, there were times I opened mouth, inserted foot, kicked internal organs, opened mouth, put another foot, repeated.
Right.
You know why? Because when we get ourselves out there, we become targets, but we also can become our own worst enemies because everything we say is on the record.
I will say this. I don't think people understand when... For those people that have been, where you've been here, I've been here in news and sports, whether it may be, the number of times that you say something, the number of words that come out of your mouth, the number of unique circumstances that you have to deal with, it is a tightrope. It truly is a tightrope, and I think politicians are in a similar position because you can say the right thing over and over and over again, but you say the wrong thing one time, it will stick to you forever.
2 points. One from marketing. When you do something positive, Chad, 7 people hear about it. When right. you do something wrong, 49 people hear about it. But the second thing is what I used to tell my male students.
Hold that thought.
We got
a hard break here. We got to take a quick 2-minute break and then come back. Oliver Burrows outside the bubble here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Welcome back. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. A few more moments. We're spending our Outside the Bubble segment basically talking a lot about the judiciary And again, I saw recently this week, in fact, I think last week actually, about, again, the numbers in terms of the trust of the judiciary is going down. And of course, today, for the first time in 15 years, the liberal wing of the Wisconsin Supreme Court will have the majority. But as we've seen, that doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to be that way. We've seen, I think Hagedorn was the biggest example recently, where he would sometimes go in and vote with the so-called liberal wing. You never know what can happen in the future. But I don't know if you even remember what you were talking about.
Yes, okay. I'm going to tell you this, Chad. I told, and yes, I am going to be using gender term here. I told my male students, I said, gentlemen, there's three words you need to learn. I was wrong. There are five words you need to learn. I was very, very wrong. And there are seven words you need to learn. I was wrong and I am sorry. I said, gentlemen, learn these three, five, and seven words and your life expectancy will be extended. Don't learn them. I do not hold out much hope. Now, I'm going to tie back this to what we were just talking about. Our hope, Chad, is that the court system gets it right, but our views, many people's views, I'm going to take that out because that's putting words in your mouth. Many people's views are, when I agree, method doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what's happening with the new rising star of the Republican Party. On day one, I'm going to. There's two words for that, executive order.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't get what I want through Congress, I'll find a way to do an executive order.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if it's Mr. Biden, Mr. Obama, Mr. Bush the older, Mr. Reagan.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Oh, 1876. Very good, Chad.
The famous Hayes-Tilden election.
Oh, my goodness. And there was politics. And then suddenly three states didn't have federal troops in them anymore. Exactly. And the end of Reconstruction.
Deals.
That's the point. Chad, you used the right word, deals. This isn't Howie and deal or no deal. This is dispensing justice. You may see it with as a living, breathing document.
Right.
I may see it among those three words, strict constructionist, mm-hmm. textualist, originalist. But the point is, we cannot whipsaw the people of Wisconsin back and forth on these issues. And I've seen this had reported to me about pairing and voting in the legislature and all right. these other things. It's not sport. It's not a game. It's taking care of the people of Wisconsin. And no, I'm not running for office.
We got 4 minutes to go. Let's go right back to the original point I thought we were going to talk about, is the new court here in Wisconsin. Obviously, there are some issues that are expected to come back in front of the court. Just last year, the courts affirmed the current lines in the state of Wisconsin in terms of what I think those on the left would call gerrymandered lines, and those on the right would say beautiful lines, in the words of the former president. Of course, we got the abortion ban that is working through the court system, which is probably closer right now to being seen with the state. What are you looking at now? Obviously, it's going to be a different court than it's been for the last 15 years. Some significant issues. Even if you disagree with maybe the way that Protasiewicz either said what she believes in or what you think she's ultimately going to do, what are you looking at for the next year or so in the Wisconsin Supreme Court?
I think you've just hit two nails on the head. With all due respect to the process that the Republicans used, I disagree with it. You don't do things like that in secret. If they want to draw the lines, let's do it out in the open. Representative Pat Snyder's always referred to Iowa and how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to have a system that's more open. But anything related to life and gender identity and issues related to physical or chemical alterations to children, those kinds of issues are very rigid in people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And if the court revisits those and takes an old law, because it was passed in 1848, I think, and simply invalidates it, the bells are ringing, school's out, and I don't know if the Republicans will use that 22-11 Senate majority to take action.
I think it possibly could happen. It's going to also be interesting, because I know that you take a look at it, the actual written opinions. I think sometimes, again, that's where I've had some issues with Alito because I think he makes things out of thin air sometimes. I think there's I think that you can have respect for somebody. I think Scalia got respect because as a sharp mind, even though many people disagreed with him, sometimes it feels as though the politicization of the courts has led to maybe not as strong of people on the courts.
And I agree with you there because they have to pass muster. Mm-hmm. Passing muster with the people of Wisconsin is different than passing muster with 100 senators.
And also, I think in the final thought is, you know, sometimes brilliance can be something that hurts you. And that's a shame because, I mean, you go back to even to Bork. I mean, people were very upset with Robert Bork and some of his ideas, but there was pretty, significant evidence the man was a very good legal mind.
And we're almost out of time. Thanks for having me in. We'll have to do this again soon. And in the meantime, always said with the love, go Cubs!
There you go. Is their win streak still going on?
No.
Oh, they did lose.
No, they lost
but
to Cincinnati.
But they're right there with the crew and now Cincinnati, too.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch. So I would like to say good luck to your team, but I can't do that.
Chad, your views are well known on this station.
And also have fun when you get to high school football. I know I'm going to enjoy it. I know I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well with the Blue Jays up in Merrill.
Downtown Ollie Burroughs will be back.
There you go.
Thank you, Chad.
Absolutely. Oliver Burroughs, Outside the Bubble. We're going to take a timeout. News update coming up. CBS News at the top of the hour. And then Brittany Merlot with the Civic Media, Central Wisconsin Bull Falls News Report as well. And then I'll be back with Jennifer Vuchiski. Talk about the weather. What can we expect here as the Wisconsin Valley Fair gets underway today? I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.